in Armenia, in all universities, we are still lacking of kind of initiatives that are encouraging students to start their companies and projects. But I hope that in the future, universities can involve some maybe startup incubators to help them to encourage students to start their own projects.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the EVN Disrupt podcast. My name is Nejdet Zatharyan. I'm the editor of the tech section here at EVN Report. Our guest this week was Emmanuel Randilian, the founder and CEO of Foldink, a bioinks and bioprinting company. We spoke about the approach Foldink is taking to the space and why biotech is an important direction for Armenia. Thank you for listening.
Emmanuel, thank you so much for being with us today.
Hi, Nejdet. Thank you for inviting me.
Let's start with a little bit of your background. Tell me how you got into the world of biology and at the intersection biotech and medicine.
Yeah, so I was studying medicine in Yerevan State Medical University. So, but my love to biology and chemistry comes from my high school years. So I was participating in various Olympiads and some events and competitions. And after I go to Yerevan State Medical University, and there I was a very active student, I can say. I was participating in social and scientific life of the university. And from this, I can say, for the first year, I joined Students' Scientific Society there and get involved into various scientific projects and also organizing scientific webinars, conferences, trainings. And after being active student there, I've become president of that scientific society. And during that time, I decided to start my own project, combining medicine and biology and 3D printing.
I'm curious. So you're probably the first guest we've had on that's from the medical university. And we've spoken a lot in the past about some of the initiatives that YSU has or Polytechnic has about encouraging sort of, you know, outside of lecture hall initiatives like projects and entrepreneurial activity and things like that. Would you say that the medical university, the campus and the programs also put a stress on that, or is that something lacking compared to some of the campuses that would be abroad and more developed ecosystems like in the US and in Europe?
No, I can say that in Armenia, in all universities, we are still lacking of kind of initiatives that are encouraging students to start their companies and projects.
Yeah.
It's still a problem in Armenian universities.
Yeah.
So it was just my initiative. But I hope that in the future, universities can involve some maybe startup incubators to help them to encourage students to start their own projects.
So being a medical student is a pretty intensive thing to begin with, and usually the path once you've gotten into medical school is fairly set for you. What attracted you to entrepreneurship and wanting to do things like this? Why not just stick to the path of becoming a doctor? I'm curious.
Yeah, it's an interesting question that I'm still trying to find an answer for that. But you know, for me, previously I was involved, you know, from medicine to more science part, and from science then into more entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think about that if you are a doctor, yes,
mm-hmm.
you have limited lifespan, of course, and during your lifespan or professional activities, you can treat a limited number of patients. But when you are inventor, yes, you can innovate and create a disruptive technology that had potential to save millions and billions of lives. So it is much more better than treating one by one patients. So this is why I decided to shift more into science. And then, you know, it's come from how scientists get funding. Usually scientists, they are, I mean, post-Soviet scientists, they are waiting for money to come and then to do something. Yeah. But if you want to do something, you need to be proactive to find funding. Your scientific project needs to be, needs to have commercial component inside. Because if you are doing just the science for publishing articles and saying, okay, I have 100, 200 articles, it's not a good thing. You need to create a technology which can be commercial, you can commercialize it and spread it all over the world and help, if you are talking about healthcare, help billions of people and of course make business and get some revenue from your inventions. So this is why I gradually shifted to entrepreneurship, because I wanted to create something, a value for the world, mm-hmm. I can say.
Right. So the sort of
limit myself.
Mm-hmm. Right. So sort of the pound for pound impact that you would have in a biotech entrepreneurship career, you envision being more than as just a physician, I guess, was what you're saying.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. And did you pursue anything after medical school, or is folding what you dove into directly?
Yeah, I worked as a military doctor 2 years. Yeah, and also started my PhD in Orbeli Institute of Physiology. Yeah, in the same direction as folding, like it is tissue engineering of aortic valves. So now my focus are these two spheres of my life, folding and doing PhD.
Got it. So you're currently a PhD student as well?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. So I want to dive into folding, but we need to do a bit of setup to both educate myself, but also the listener. On what exactly it is that you guys are working on, because I think this is a space that's new to the world and definitely new to our listeners. Let's start with just getting a basis of understanding what are bioinks and bioprinting and what are they used for?
First of all, to come to the answer for your question, I want to make some introduction into the technology that we are working in. You know, it's so folding is specializing in 3D bioprinting technology. But to come to it, there is a huge healthcare problem in the world, lack of donor organs in every country, even US, even Armenia, doesn't matter. And scientists all over the world, they are trying to find solutions for this problem, and bioprinting, which is combining 3D printing and tissue engineering techniques, has a good potential in the future to solve this problem. With because with bioprinting, it's possible to print organoids that can in the laboratory grown into the full organs and used to be used in instead of donor organs, we can say. So this is why bioprinting technology emerged. Of course, we all understand that it is something futuristic that you can print liver or kidney with 3D printer, and all scientific community need to work maybe another 20 years to reach this. But before it, we now bioprinting has its own applications, like in vitro tissues for drug discovery, cancer research, and also some small regenerative medicine applications. Yeah. And we can say 3D bioprinting to explain. It's use it is using the principles of 3D printing, just layer by layer recreating the 3D model. It uses biomaterials as a inks for 3D printing, and of course it uses living cells. So usually scientists are mixing cell culture with biomaterial, and they get a cartridge or full of biological material.
And that's what we call the bio-ink.
Yeah. And our this is bio-ink, and our company's focus is providing advanced biomaterials to scientists and to help them to engineer these living tissues and organoids, scaffolds for various applications.
And when you say providing advanced biomaterials, what exactly are the biomaterials? Is that the cell cultures that you were mentioning earlier?
No, cell culture is usually added by scientists. They have their incubators. They are cultivating cells by themselves. Advanced, I mean, there are many types of biomaterial inks available in the market, but most of them have one formula, which is working. But scientists, there are many, many publications with that standard compositions. And when scientists want to do something innovative and new, they have to modificate these materials, customize, and add different components for creating more tissue-specific biomaterials. So Folding is offering ready-to-use and customizable biomaterial solutions, so scientists can save their energy and time and focus more on their research rather than spending time in the lab preparing material.
Got it. So the if I'm picturing the whole sort of life cycle, Folding and companies like you guys prepare these synthetic biomaterials, I guess what you call bioinks, that are provided to labs or other companies that use them for bioprinting, and the bioprinting can be done for the one example that you mentioned was organs, I guess, right? And other applications, I'm assuming. Is that sort of the whole chain of the process?
The whole chain is much more longer. It's a futuristic.
The simple version.
Yeah. We can say, imagine a patient comes to the hospital. They do a medical imaging like MRI or CT scan. And let's talk about heart, yes? After medical imaging, scientists can transform that medical imaging data into the 3D models, computer-aided 3D models. And also, scientists can take a biopsy from the patient in order to cultivate patient's own living cells.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then with this 3D model and cultivated cells mixed with biomaterials, they put it into 3D printer, and then they get structure of the organ or some small piece of the organ, and then they can use it for replacing damaged tissues, or in the future, why not replacing the whole organ.
The full organ.
This is the kind of pipeline of how it is going to work.
So what are the primary uses today? If we're not at the point yet where we can 3D print a whole liver or heart or something, what is it mostly being used for today?
There are many applications, for example, for cancer research. You know, it's possible with bioprinting to create cancer models, small tissues, in vitro, I mean in the petri dish or well plates. So using that cancer cells and biomaterials, of course. and scientists can try new therapeutic approaches, new drugs, and other things to understand if it works on this type of cancer or not. Also, it has a good potential for personalized medicine. Imagine a person come to the hospital and is diagnosed with cancer, and scientists can create an in vitro model of patient's cancer and try different drugs and understand which one works better for this particular patient.
I see. So using bioinks and my cell cultures, let's say, if I was diagnosed with cancer, they would create some sort of small like tissue sample or something, and be able to see how different treatments, how my physiology would respond to certain treatments, I guess, before actually administering.
Yeah, from the tissue part, we can say, because to understand the whole reaction of the whole body, we need to do.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
yeah, on the patient himself. Yeah,
right. It would be localized, I guess, to some part.
Yeah, yeah, and also besides cancer, they're possible to model other type of the diseases, the disorders like cardiomyopathies, mm-hmm. or some inflammations, other type of.
That's really disorders. Interesting. Is it the other aspect you mentioned it's being used in is just basic research? How widely used would you say these techniques are today, both for patient care but also in scientific research?
It's bioprinting is a emerging technology, and it's in R&D stage, and still it is not used in clinics, but in the leading universities and institutions in the world, they have their bioprinting departments, tissue engineering departments, and most of those labs are focused on creating technologies for they are focused on creating different type of tissues. For example, one lab is focused on skin, another one is focused on heart, and the idea is to be able to replace damaged tissues. So I can say the most applications, the scientific part, are regenerative medicine and creating lab-grown tissues.
And that's been, you said it's emerging, but is it something that's actually been applied yet? Are there patients that have received like some part of their body needed repair, for lack of a better phrasing, and they were able to do it through bioprinted materials using some of the technologies that you guys are working on?
Not yet. It hasn't used for patients, but yeah, I hope in 5 years we will hear about it.
Is the biggest bottleneck just that the science isn't done being worked out yet, or is it something else?
It's about microarchitecture of that tissues and functionality. For example, if we are talking about skin or cartilage tissue, there skin also is has complex structure. Let's talk about cartilage. It has a simple structure without vascularization, so it's easy to recreate. But when we are talking about much more complex tissue structures and organs, we can say, for example, imagine liver. It has small functional structures inside. It's not just a combination of cells. It's a real micro architecture, and each cell, one cell, is doing its own function. So this is why still we have limitations of creating these functional tissues like liver, kidney, because the function comes from the micro environment, micro scale. So bioprinting still cannot print in this kind of micro scales.
Right. And you think 5 years is sort of the time scale to get this into clinics?
Yeah, simple tissues can reach clinics in maybe 5 years.
And is the ultimate dream of this technology that one day you won't need organ donations anymore because everything will be readily printable?
Yeah, the dream, I can say, is that.
And not to give you too tough of a question, but what's the timeline of that dream?
It's difficult to say, even if I am in the field. It's come not only about technical limitations, but also some approvals from FDA or similar organizations, you know. And even if the 3D printers can print functional tissues, all tissues need to pass all preclinical and clinical applications. So let's say the minimum 10, but I think it will be maybe 15.
Okay, that doesn't seem like too long. Interesting. I thought you were gonna maybe say much longer than that. Going back to the scientific discovery portion of where this technology can be applicable. So right now, most clinical, like before you get to a human clinical trial, things are done on animals, rodents, whatever you can get before. What you have some sort of positive signal before you take it to a human trial, right? In that regard, can you just tell us a little bit about how these technologies might change how we do human life sciences?
Yeah, the way to reach human applications is really doing these preclinical tests with rodents and maybe much more bigger animals. The technology will be changed a little bit because now the materials that are widely used in bioprinting, they're mostly animal based, and I think for the future we will need much more animal free compositions of biomaterials, I can say, and also some human based or recombinant protein based materials.
But in terms of like, is it does it hold promise for resulting in much more accurate trials, for example, in that stage, because you have sort of a makeshift human tissue that you're testing on? Or would it speed up trials maybe? Or what, how can it help accelerate scientific discovery in the biological sciences?
Even these proteins that are animal based, they have similarity to human proteins, like 90% or 92%, and if you use the human proteins for these applications, the results will be more precise, of course, as you mentioned. I can say from this, and also it is much more ethical when you are using recombinant, not animal based. But anyway, still recombinant solutions have high prices, so this is why they do not have wide applications.
So there's a big bottleneck there of price.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, let's talk a little bit more specifically about folding. Can you tell us about what it is specifically in the market that you guys are focused on, what differentiates you from other players in the space?
So as I mentioned before, materials available in the market, they are sort of standard compositions. Yeah, widely used standard compositions, and they do not have tissue specific components. So they are the same formula if you want to print skin, if you want to print liver tissue, etc. They are the same. And in the market, they are, of course, some tissue specific compositions, but they are still lacking of these growth factors and tissue specific components. So our company is focusing on providing tissue specific, like skin specific, bone specific, and other biomaterials. So scientists can buy these materials and without any modifications or concerns about if it's going to work for this particular tissue, they can use it and get reliable results.
I see. So in the past, maybe it was more common to be purchasing sort of general bioinks with the hopes of it being optimal for your application?
Yeah, yeah. So they started from the standard compositions. And we are also offering this standard compositions as well. So, and with the high quality, so scientists can also try our standard options as well.
Right, right. Coming back to having all this be done in Armenia, so obviously this is a very like deep tech focused, like R&D heavy company. I'm curious in terms of, so in the past we've had on people in the sort of biotech or biotech adjacent spaces, such as like people from drug discovery mostly, who admittedly work more on the computation side, but they've spoken often about some of their bottlenecks in Armenia being that they don't necessarily have access to enough of the wet lab infrastructure to be able to go further in sort of the supply chain of what they're working on. And for that reason, they're often either bottlenecked or they have to find ways of mitigating that by looking at the outside world. I'm curious, in the bioprinting space and specifically the bioinks that you guys provide, I guess, how is Armenia in terms of that? Like, how suitable of an environment is it for this kind of work? And are there things that you hope to see be improved upon to help further this technology in Armenia?
Yeah, it's a painful question for all biologists and scientists. In Armenia, we are still lacking of fully equipped labs. I can say when we were starting, we were students and we didn't have any resources, and we tried to find labs that already have necessary equipment so we can just go there and work, because having your own lab is about big finances, etc. And in Armenia, we find only one lab which we're focusing on tissue engineering. Now I'm doing my PhD there, but they helped us, but they also are lacking of necessary equipment. So this is why with our finances, we invested into having this infrastructure in Armenia. We have established Folding's bioprinting lab. So now we have this equipment and lab space where we can do manufacturing, R&D on biomaterials and bioprinting itself. But I was in different countries, in France, Germany, USA, so they already have this infrastructure from the governmental level. Yes, they have very equipped universities, equipped labs, people who knows how to work with these particular devices, etc. And it's easy for scientists from these countries, yes, developed countries, to do world-class research to IP and then to a spin-off from the university. But in Armenia, we do not have kind of infrastructure. We do not have this mindset of doing similar projects. So if someone wants to start a project, he needs to struggle and find big finances or try to do his project outside of Armenia because of limited resources, I mean, in the laboratory part.
When thinking about strategic areas that Armenia should be focusing on, there's a number of sort of promising initiatives in the biotech space. Folding is another one added to that list. Do you think biotech is an area that at a governmental level, at a state level, the country should be focused more on in terms of investments? Is this something that Armenia has both potential and an importance to give to in the space? Because obviously for a country like Armenia, which has more limited resources than a France or a USA or a Canada or something, to some extent, you have to be more strategic and intentional with every dollar you spend. Can you make the case for why this space and why biotech should be important for Armenia?
Yeah. First of all, biotech is creating values in healthcare field, especially in agriculture and other. And for the country who do not have natural resources and is not in a, I can say, a very good geographical position, so we need to have strong biotech because of we need strong medicine. We need to innovate in this field. We need also agriculture and other things. So this is why it's important to we do not need necessarily hundreds of labs, you know, or 100 universities like in developed countries. We need even one big facility where this all innovations can be done, and biotech should be part of the real strategy of the country, because it can create, I can say, valuable innovations that are important for the country to move forward. And also, of course, we understand that biotech is a high risky, you know, field, but the outcomes of biotech are much more bigger than other fields.
So dollar for dollar investment, you think it has a much, much better potential for more returns, you're saying?
Yeah, and of course, in my opinion, a country should underline the problems that they have. For example, in one problem in healthcare, for example, you can say one type of cancer, or which has high amount of patients in Armenia, or we can say one particular problem in agriculture, and government will spend money on this, on solving on these particular problems which are important for the country. Yeah, and in this case, the investments and dollar, as you mentioned, outcomes will be much more valuable rather than doing a technology which Armenia do not need.
Right, right. And like you mentioned, it has applications in areas such as agriculture, which is a significant portion of Armenia's economy. Before we wrap up, there's one thing I noticed on your guys' website, which is a huge personal interest of mine, and I'd be curious to hear you speak a little bit more about it, and that's cell cultured food. So this is like the colloquial term for it, I guess, like lab grown meat, things of that nature. Is the bioprinting aspect of it, is when we talk about lab grown meats, is it the same thing as what you guys are working on with bioinks being produced specifically for that, and then you know, quote unquote 3D printing a burger or something?
Yeah, see, the technology is the same. Yeah, it's the same bioprinters. In case of cells, it should be muscular cells. Yeah, but when we talk about biomaterials, this biomaterial should be animal free. Currently, Folding is focusing on more medical part of this technology, because yeah, if you want to print meat, yeah, and the idea is not killing animals and printing meat with 3D printers, you should not use animal-based products for that. Yeah,
I guess in the medium term, like before you get to the full solution of being completely animal-free, like this is a very like layman's question, but is it possible that you would be able to produce much more meat by killing less animals in the medium to short term? Is that sort of like a stepping stone before you get to fully animal-free lab-grown meat?
You know, still the technology is not there, because now cultivating this kind of cells is much more expensive than having animal farms. So this is why still this technology of cultivated meat need to pass. Yeah, they need to decrease their prices of the technology. So after that, it would be possible to decrease also the number of animal farms and killing animals for food.
Right, right. Okay. So recently you guys announced some seed funding from EIF, which is a local Armenian organization that helps to develop the entire startup ecosystem and helps help startups. Have you guys raised any other money, or are you in the process of raising?
This grant was 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
It's you know, not new. They just posted they posted updates just about us. Yeah, but I can say that we received grants from AIF, from High Technological Industry, Ministry of High Technological Industry, and after it we will be able to were able to raise funds from angel investors, and now, as you mentioned, we opened a new round of investment. Yeah, and now we are in process of negotiation with different angel networks and groups and VCs to be able to close this funding round.
And last question, where do you hope to see Folding in 5 years?
Yeah, in 5 years, I can say that Folding will be a company which has already its constant revenue in the plan of the business, and also expanded in different countries, like and with the presence in Europe and America. Yeah, and I can say that we plan to also increase our team, so we'll be able to involve much more young scientists based in Armenia. Yeah, so I can say much more bigger team, constant revenue, presence in our targeted markets.
Fantastic. I think this is one of the most interesting spaces that we've had on the podcast so far, and I'm sure it's something that's going to be rapidly changing over the next few years. So I hope you'll come back on and tell us about how it goes. Thank you, Emmanuel.
Yeah, thank you very much.